بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا تكلم بكلمة أعادها ثلاثا حتى تفهم عنه، وإذا أتى على قوم فسلم عليهم سلم عليهم ثلاثا. رواه البخاري، وهذا محمول على ما إذا كان الجمع كثيرا. أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه نريت that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it was his noble practice that whenever he would speak even a few words, he would repeat himself three times so that the audience could fully comprehend whatever he had said. The first part of this hadith we have already in much detail discussed it, pertinent to the chapter that we are currently engaged in, the chapter which deals with the kayfiyat or the manner or the adab or the etiquettes of salam. The second part of the hadith is pertinent to that. Anas radiallahu ta'ala narrates that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would approach ala qawm, a group of people. Now this word qawm in Arabic can refer to a small number of people or it can refer to a large number of people. So that is not specifically mentioned in the riwayat that what was the size of the group. Sometimes it may be a few people, maybe a lot of people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he would approach, فَسَلَّمَ عَلَيْهِمْ, and he would make salam to them, he would repeat the salam three times. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, in the commentary of the hadith, he mentions that we would regard this to be a situation where the group of people was very large. So three times salam, in other words, perhaps first to the middle of the audience, then to the right, then to the left, so that the salam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would reach everyone in that gathering. Couple of points that we should take note in this hadith. First of all, salam bidarajatul idhn. Ulama say that in this context, salam will be in the rank of seeking permission. Now you go to somebody's house, you knock. Islam requires you to seek permission before you enter. Make your presence known. That is part of the etiquette of visiting somebody. So how many times do you knock? We learn from a hadith that three times maximum. Once you've knocked three times, you don't go fourth, fifth, sixth time. You respectfully leave and proceed. Whether the person responds or he doesn't respond, whether he was there or not, you make usnezan that inshallah he was not there, this is why he didn't answer, and you proceed. So they say one explanation of the salam three times is, they say, similar to seeking permission. In other words, stop at the third time. When you make salam, it's not necessary. First of all, it's not necessary to make three times salam. This was part of the shafaqa, the compassion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We find that it is part of his noble akhlaq and character. For example, I'm sitting speaking to you now. Somebody has to approach from my left hand side and has to try and draw my attention. Normally, what is the protocol that you will give to that person? Somebody is approaching to your left, so you'll turn your head in the left direction. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his noble akhlaq and character was such that he wouldn't just turn his head. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would turn his entire body towards the person. This was part of the special attention that he would give, regardless, whoever it may be, somebody wealthy, somebody poor, sometimes a slave. Somebody approached him, Ya Muhammad, Ya Nabi Allah, Ya Rasul Allah, from the right side. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would turn his entire body towards the right side, towards that person. He wouldn't just turn his head in that direction. Sahaba say that when they sat in the majlis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, each one would feel as if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's special attention is directed towards that person. He would sometimes smile at that particular person. And that person would feel special. Now you're sitting in front of 20, 30, 40 people. To achieve this is not everybody's cup of tea. In fact, it's very difficult to achieve something like this, that every person in that gathering feels that they enjoy a special position in your heart and you are specially attentive towards them. But this was the type of protocol that Rasulullah ﷺ would give everyone in a gathering. So part of that would probably explain why Rasulullah ﷺ three times salam, so that no one is left out and everyone feels that the Nabi of Allah ﷺ greeted me and gave special attention to me. Just by the way, when it comes to the salam three times, or even salam less than that, sometimes there's a large group of people. The Sharia requirement is when you approach them, you make salam. Maybe you've got a problem, argument, issue with somebody in that gathering. So sometimes what the shaitani jazba would be to make salam to certain people and exclude the rest. This in Shariat is makruh. It is disliked, reprehensible to specifically greet certain people in a gathering and exclude the others. Why? Because the object of salam is what? لَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَن تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُوا أَوَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَعَلْتُمُوهُ تَحَابَبْتُمْ أَفْشُوا السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Rasulullah said, you will not enter Jannah until you do not believe, and you cannot believe, your iman is not complete until you don't love one another. So the object of salam, he said, should I not show you something that will create mutual love? Make salam common amongst yourself. So one of the objectives of salam is to create unity, love. By singling specific people out with salam and excluding others, this goes against the objective of salam. Because automatically, you're going to create dislike amongst those that you left out. So this is why it is makruh, and one should not do that. If you've got a problem with somebody, Islam, the least, is make salam. Don't break ties, join ties. So coming back to this, Imam Nawawi rahimullah says, when the gathering was large, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam would make salam three times, perhaps in different directions, and so that nobody in that particular gathering is left out. One interesting point ulama mentioned is that sometimes salam is made by way of what we call ta'lim, to educate somebody. So sometimes you say to somebody, assalamu alaikum. Instead of saying wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, whatever, this person says marhaba, ahlan, how are you? You made salam, he said how are you? So what should you do? Start shouting at him? What you're doing is wrong. No, makes it say wa alaikum assalam. No. If you want to educate him in a nice manner, make salam a second time. Assalamu alaikum. Again, if he says marhaba, ahla, how are you? You know, everything okay. Make salam a third time. But stop at the third time. From this hadith, we learn this also. Sometimes, to correct the person who you addressed, or he didn't fully get the import of the salam the first time, and therefore he didn't respond the way he's supposed to respond. وَإِذَا حُيِّيتُم بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحَيُّوا بِأَحْسَنُ مِنْهَا أَوْرُدُّهَا. Where Allah commands us, and salam is made, respond to that particular salam. Then, in this instance, up to three times. And if your relationship is with that person is such that it won't lead to fitna, if you made salam and he's responding in some other way, good morning, how are you, whatever it is, then you should go the extra step or the extra mile of actually encouraging that person, not to deprive himself of the reward of this great sunnah. وعن المقداد رضي الله تعالى عنه في حديثه الطويل قال كنا نرفع للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نصيبه من اللبن فيجيء من الليل فيسلم تسليما لا يوقظ نائما ويسمع اليقظان فجاء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فسلم كما كان يسلم رواه مسلم. This hadith passed in the previous chapter, and it's actually a lengthy hadith, a section of it pertinent to the kayfiyat or the etiquettes or mannerisms of salam. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah for that reason has mentioned it. In this hadith are two or three important points that we can glean. Miqdad radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions that we used to take or carry in the evening the share of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of the milk. In other words, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and a few of them were sharing the return or the milk that was produced by one or two goats. Miqdad radiallahu ta'ala used to carry Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's share in the evening, fayaji'u min al-layl. At times, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come to them, fayaji'u min al-layl. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come to them at night. At night, Madina Munawwara, and unfortunately today, we are such that we, after Isha, we get involved in other activities, in gapshap, wasting time, computer, internet, this, that, etc. And we tend to sleep very late. This is khilaf of sunnah. After Isha, one should try and sleep early, so that you wake up early for tahajjud, etc. So, it is night, it's after Isha obviously, so some people are going to sleep. So, what would Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? Sallama yusallimu tasliman. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make salam. But what salam? What was the tone or how loud? La yuqidhu na'iman. If someone is sleeping, it would not disturb his sleep. If someone is sleeping, it would not disturb his sleep. If someone was awake, he could hear the salam. So loud enough to be discernible, and for the person to hear the salam and respond. And if the person is sleeping, that's the sleep of that person would not be disturbed. This is very important in the sense that there is one principle of Shariat which we should always remember. That don't do something that is mustahab or sunnah in such a way that by doing that you do something that is, you end up doing something that is makruh or haram. To disturb someone, particularly someone who is sleeping, to make a noise, unnecessarily irritate that person is haram. It's not permissible. Because you're causing taklif to someone. So now you want to practice on a sunnah, so you're shouting, Assalamu alaikum, and you're waking the person up that's sleeping. And you're going to make him irritable also. So, you're doing something that is sunnah, and in the process, something that is haram and prohibited. So you have to be careful in that regard. This is a very important principle of Sharia, then we should always remember this. It doesn't only apply to salam, it applies to many things. Don't do something that is permissible or sunnah or mustahab. And do it in such a way that you end up doing something that is haram or impermissible. And this is one classical example of that. A lot of times in jamaat, you're entering a room, sometimes in a masjid, or you return late at night, people of the house are sleeping, sometimes the wife is sleeping. Make salam. Yes, when you enter the house, make salam. But make softly. Softly, so that the person that's awake can hear you, and the one that is sleeping, you do not disturb the sleep of that person. Shall we continue?